We are again in our sermon period, and I'm going to do something a little different. Those of you that have been hearing me preach, usually I start off with a verse, then I give the title, then I say something that we get into, you know, get into the scriptures. I'm going to change the order up a little bit. I'm going to give you the title, but then we're going to be doing quite a bit of reading as we come up, all right? But just to give you a starting point, we will be coming from the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel. Now, that may be a little harder for you to find. If you don't know where it is, there is a table of contents. In your physical Bibles, you will see Daniel kind of two-thirds of the way down. Find that page number. Once you find that page number, you are right where you need to be at chapter 1, the book of Daniel, chapter 1. In the meantime, the title is as follows. It is this. It's not a diet. It's a decision. It's not a diet. It's a decision. And as you can tell, we're kicking off our healthy lifestyle month. This will be the sermon kicking it off. But we're going to be coming from the book of Daniel, chapter 1. I will have it on the screen out of the Christian Standard Bible version. I strongly encourage you to find it in your own Bibles. Again, you have a table of contents in your physical Bibles. If you have an electronic Bible, you have it easier. Just type in the search, Daniel. Click. You're there. So when you have it, say amen. Still need some time? Say, wait a minute. Everybody's faster than I am. So, of course, right when I'm ready to do it, my own situation changes. The book of Daniel, chapter 1. Now, we're going to be reading a while, so I know if it's hard for you, some of you, to stand for, you know, a period of time, I understand. But what we're going to do is read chapter 1, verses 1 through 16, and then we're just going to jump straight to 19. All right. Book of Daniel, chapter 1, verse 1 reads as follows. It says, in the third year of the reign of King Jehoiakim of Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came to Jerusalem and laid siege to it. The Lord handed King Jehoiakim of Judah over to him, along with some of the vessels of the house of God. Nebuchadnezzar carried them to the land of Babylon, to the house of his God, and put the vessels in the treasury of his God. Verse 3, the king ordered Ashpenaz, his chief eunuch, to bring some of the Israelites from the royal family and from the nobility, young men without any physical defect, good looking, suitable for instruction in all wisdom, knowledge, perceptive, and capable of serving in the king's palace. He was to teach them the Chaldean language and literature. Verse 5, the king assigned them daily provisions from the royal food and from the wine that he drank. They were to be trained for 3 years, and at the end of that time, they were to attend the king. Among them from the Judahites were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief eunuch gave them names. He gave the name Belteshazzar to Daniel, Shadrach to Hananiah, Meshach to Mishael, and Abednego to Azariah. Verse 8. Daniel determined that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine he drank. So he asked permission from the chief eunuch not to defile himself. God had granted Daniel kindness and compassion from the chief eunuch. Verse 10, yet he said to Daniel, I fear the Lord, the king, who assigned your food and drink. What if he sees your faces looking thinner than the other men your age? You would endanger my life with the king. Verse 11. So Daniel said to the guard whom the chief eunuch had assigned to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. Amen. Water. Verse 13, then examine our appearance and the appearance of the young men who are eating the king's food, and deal with your servants based on what you see. He agreed with them about this and tested them for 10 days. Verse 15, at the end of 10 days, they looked better and healthier than all the young men who were eating the king's food. So the guard continued to remove their food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables. Verse 19, the king interviewed them, and among all of them, no one was found equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they began to attend the king. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I wanted you to read the entire story, or at least this part of the story, because I wanted to see what lessons you took from the story. What lessons did you take from Daniel and the three Hebrew boys refusing to eat the meat and the wine that the king had apportioned for them? What lessons did you get when they only ate vegetables and drink water? Now, some of you may say, well, one of the lessons is don't eat meat, don't drink wine. And clear as day, right? That's what they did, right? Didn't eat meat, didn't drink wine. So if we're gonna be healthy, we can't be having that meat. Can't be having no cow, no pig. If we're going to be healthy, and if we're going to do what the Lord called us to do, because we like to add things, right? Then we got to not eat meat. And don't even get me started on the wine. That's the lesson we got, right? I would like to tell you that is the wrong lesson. That's the wrong lesson. See, the issue was that this was the meat and the wine that the king apportioned for Daniel. Did y'all catch that part? This was and would have likely been in that time meat that was dedicated to gods in that culture. And some researchers suggest that it may have even been an act of worship in that culture to eat the meat that was associated with a certain god. Same thing with the wine. In that culture, it could have been seen as an act of worship of that God. Now we know that God is okay with meat. First of all, Jesus has declared all things clean. Okay, we know that's later than Daniel, but Jesus declared all foods clean. There is no food that we eat today that is disrespecting our Lord. Okay, and that includes pork. Somebody said, well, what about shellfish? Shellfish too. Okay, we have the freedom in Christ to eat all of that. And somebody said, well, you skipping the wine. The wine is good too. Amen. Got applause on it too. But keep in mind, God, they've been eating meat. The Jews have been eating meat for a long time. And, you know, some of us were in Bible study this week. Didn't we just talk about Jesus being the true vine? Why would he do that if he don't want to be associated with wine? This Lord's Supper that we're about to have, when it was originally instituted, it was what? Grape juice. Nope. Hello? Somebody said this is the wrong sermon. I understand. Okay. The right lesson is to do what God told you to do. Now, here's the thing. We know that we can eat, you know, by permission, whatever we want. We know that that is not what goes into a man that defiles him, but what comes out of a man. We know that. That said, you ought to do what God told you to do. And here's the part nobody likes. God also uses doctors, nutritionists, etc., to tell you what to do. Can we eat anything? Yes. Should we eat anything? You know you got high blood pressure. And your doctor told you don't be heavy on that salt. Well, that's the doctor. God ain't told me nothing. God might be using the doctor to tell you. If you are struggling with diabetes, stop drinking 3 cans of soda. Listen to what God is telling you. Yes, we can drink wine. Here we go. But if you have a history of alcoholism, or if you just simply cannot know when to stop, and you know this, God already told you through your doctors and through the nutritionists, and now through the pastor. It's not hard to understand what God wants us to do. Switch me to this mic. Front mic, thank you. God told you what to do. And that's the lesson, is that they weren't just getting off of meat and wine because it was funny. They were following what God had told them to do. When it comes to your health, follow what the Lord has told you to do. And some of us might need to drink more water. Some of us might need to eat some more vegetables, which, by the way, were also provided by the king. Nobody mentions that. Do what God told you to do. Somebody said, okay, I got that lesson. I got it. Move on, pastor. Because I understand. Don't, you know, we can do that, right? So we just need to eat right for 10 days. And if we just eat right for 10 days, just 10 days, God will show the difference in you. If you just eat right, 10 days, today's Sunday and 7 days, Sunday, so Monday, Tuesday. So by March 10th, if we just start eating right today, you're going to see the difference. That's also the wrong lesson to get from this. The right lesson is to eat right for life. We keep talking about 10 days. But in the scripture, how long was it before they appeared before the king? Verse 5, it says 3 years. So that 10-day thing was just to prove to the eunuch, right? But they kept eating vegetables and water for 3 years. That's not really a diet, y'all. Eat right for life. Because look, this isn't a trial. It's a lifestyle. Eating right is not something we do until summer comes. And we look how we wanna look. Oh, I must have forgot I'm in Southern California. Keep going. Okay, Pastor, I get it. So we got to eat right for life. And the reason we've got to eat right is because we've got to be healthy. That's the lesson. That's what I'm getting from the book of Daniel. We got to eat right so we can be healthy. Actually, that's the wrong lesson. If we're reading this book, what it tells us is that we ought to eat right to be holy. Huh. Daniel and the three Hebrew boys were not trying to prove how much healthier that they were. They had a commitment to God. And they knew that even though the culture was what it was, God had done what? Set them apart. Which is, by the way, what holy means. Everybody thinks holy means be perfect and be, upstanding, wear a tie or wear a dress. That's what people think holy means, just don't curse, don't drink, That's what people think holy means, but holy actually means to be set apart. And why does this matter? Because God has set us apart for a reason, and we need to be healthy enough to see why. Does everybody remember what Daniel did after that? He interpreted dreams and visions and whatnot for two different kings, three different kings, really. And after that, he was governing, and he wrote prophecies and whatnot, right? He did all of that. God used him to do all of that. God had already had Daniel set apart, holy, set apart for all of that. And all of that would have been in jeopardy if Daniel did not eat right. What does that mean for me? God might have some big things for you to do later in life, but you can't because you made some bad decisions growing up. And in the time where you should be active and going out for the Lord, you're sick. Trust me, I really wanted God to take this part of the message out. But this is real. Thank you. This is good volume. Amen. This is serious, y'all. What you do now affects you later. God has plans for you later as well as now. But he has plans for you later. But you can't do those plans if you're not healthy enough to do those plans. Why? Because you are holy. What does that mean? You have been set apart. God has already preordained that you would grow and you would do things for the Lord that he did not want anybody else to do. He's already decreed it. It's already on your life. But what God needs you to do is to eat right so that you're not sick and immobile later on because of your own doing. I understand things happen in life. I understand people get sick and it's not of their own doing. There are some people online that are dealing with that. That sometimes cancer comes up and it just is what it is. Sometimes, you know, there's, you know, another type of disease that sometimes people get injured off of a freak accident. Things happen. And we understand that. God has a plan for you too. Don't you give up. Don't do that, all right? We understand that things happen. However, some people go to heaven too early. Some people, I am positive, when they go and see our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, one of the questions he asked them is, why are you here so early? I had more for you to do. St. John needed you. But you didn't make the right decisions. Why? Because we keep on thinking of just, oh, we just got to be held. It's about being holy. It's about God having a purpose for us later on. And what we do now matters for later. All right, Pastor, I got it. Okay. So what you're basically saying is, like Daniel, and just do it for others. Wrong lesson. You do not. That's not what we're trying to get out of this. And somebody said, okay, well, yeah. Okay, you can't be healthy for other people, man. You just got to be healthy for yourself. You got to do it for yourself. You got to eat right for yourself. That is also the wrong lesson. Because if I'm reading this text correctly, it says that we ought to be eating right for the Lord. Do you realize that it glorifies God when we eat well? I'm gonna let you digest that, pun intended. Glorifying God, yes, it's praise and worship. Yes, it's all of the things we do at church. It's also eating right. Because you know what's coming later. You want to be available for the Lord. You want to honor the Lord. You want to glorify him in all that you do. And that includes food and drink. Do it for the Lord. And you know what happens when you eat right and you are doing it to glorify God? Everybody else benefits, including you. When you follow what the Lord is telling you to do, when you follow what he is telling you to eat and drink, when you follow the exercise plans that he's telling you, when you follow the prayer and meditation and all of those things that you're supposed to be doing, not only does God get glorified, but other people benefit because you're calmer, you're healthier, you're mobile, you're regulated. And also you benefit. You ain't so stressed out. You don't have to deal with the high blood pressure and the diabetes. We understand sometimes it's hereditary and things you can't do, but sometimes it is self-induced. And if you already have diabetes, you don't have to make it worse. Maybe you can regulate it. If you have high blood pressure, you can regulate it. Everybody benefits, including you, when you do it for the Lord. So what am I trying to say? Is that it's the wrong lesson to go on a diet. That's not the point of this. Some of us want to do the Daniel fast, the Daniel diet. It's not about the diet. Though that is the wrong lesson. The right lesson is that we need to make a decision. Because it's not a diet. It's a decision. Bring it home, James. We glorify God with our bodies. So we got to take care of them. Right? Some of us take better care of this church building than we do of our own bodies. I know that's kind of a bad time to talk about with the gas and all, but still. Some of us take better care of our own houses than our own bodies. We glorify God with our bodies. We've got to take care of our bodies. And if we do what the Lord says, we will be at our best physically, mentally, and emotionally. Did you know that? That when you actually follow the Lord's advice, when you read Proverbs, you actually are healthier. I'm not just talking spiritually, although that's definitely true. But when you follow what the Lord is saying, you are healthier. I saw there's a friend of mine. She's in medicine, and her husband's a doctor. And her husband was talking about how was talking about antidepressants. And it was talking about how, you know, it helps the heart and whatnot. But he made a statement. He said, a leading cause of heart attacks is, get this, depression. Because we tend to separate spiritual and mental. And you realize you can literally die from a broken heart. Did you know that? You can get sick. I mean, truly, truly sick from being bitter and not forgiving people. Physically, you can drive yourself insane. I mean, to a clinical level. Because you refuse to let go. I'm not, like was said earlier, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a health professional. I just repeat what the health professionals say. And they're saying new research comes out now and this and that. Bible's been saying this for thousands of years. This matters, y'all. If we do what the Lord says, and again, I'm not just limiting it to eating right, although that is extremely important because mind, body, soul, we're all of it's connected. All of it's connected. If you don't know if it's connected, you ever heard of being hangry? When you're so hungry that you're just irritable and don't nobody want to be around you and you upset with everything and the world is terrible and because you know. In fact, there's a company that took advantage of that. It said, hungry, grab a Snickers. It's a real thing, y'all. And if we do what the Lord says, we're not just going to be spiritually great, but we will be physically as good as can be. Mentally, able to process things as good as we can be. Emotionally, we will be as regulated, as good as we can be if we do what the Lord says. And that includes resisting our flesh. It would have been very easy for Daniel to take some of them lamb chops, seared to perfection. with a drizzle of Babylonian pepper. Oven baked. He could have. And drank the wine that was only found in one place of the world and tastes better than the rest of the world. He could have. But he resisted temptation. We must resist our flesh. Another way to say it is, don't give up what we want later for what we want now. We have goals in life, and we need to be healthy enough to be there for these goals and to be doing these goals. But a lot of us are trading it for that big, juicy cheeseburger. We're trading time with our grandkids because we really like that steak, that super salted steak. We're trading our future because we want something in the present. And that's literally what temptation is all about, is to forfeit your future so that you can meet the needs of your present. Resist your flesh. Jesus resisted temptation too. Y'all realize, what was it, what was the first temptation that he dealt with? Food. If you are the Son of Man, if you are who you say you are, turn these stones into what? Bread. Jesus' first temptation, first one from the devil, was food. Because if you can't get control over your butt, your belly. Hello? If you can't even control your physical flesh. Jesus resisted temptation too. And if you really think about it, food set him up for the cross. If Jesus had failed the bread test, he would have been disqualified to do anything after, including go on the cross for your sins and my sins. It started when Jesus was hungry and he had made a vow that he would not eat. He was on a fast for 40 days and 40 nights. And after that, he was hungry and the devil knew when to tempt him. The devil is not going to tempt you when you're full, y'all. He going to tempt you when you need it. He going to tempt you when you want it. And Jesus faced temptation, but because he knew he was going to the cross, he said, I'm not going to turn these stones into bread, but I will go with what proceeds out of the mouth of the word of God. He resisted temptation. He resisted his belly. And because of that, and he resisted other temptations, and he resisted a lot of other things too, Jesus was qualified to go on the cross and die for our sins. And he was buried, and on the third day, Jesus rose up with all power in his hand. All because he started by resisting his stomach. But there's something important here, is because Jesus rose from the grave, right? So I hope everybody, I'm trying to make this connection. I don't want to make you sound like you don't understand, but when Jesus rose, he rose on earth. Does that make sense? Because, you know, he didn't die and then in heaven, you know, he rose and, no, he rose on earth. Bodily, right? So because Jesus rose on earth, our healthy, eternal life starts here on earth. Everybody thinks eternal life is all about heaven. Eternal life started already when you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You are living. Those of us that have trusted in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we are living our eternal life right now. The first part of it. Jesus rose on earth. He didn't rise up sick. He didn't rise up with bad habits. He rose. Ate some fish later on too. Our healthy eternal life starts here. Sometimes as Christians, we just think we just need to make it to the other side. And that's our focus. Make it to the other side. Make it up there. God has work for you to do here. And it requires taking care of this. We got to stay focused, y'all. Because Jesus did promise that he would give us life. And life more abundantly. So when we are as healthy as we can be, we are proof of Jesus giving life abundantly. In the sermon. Diets are temporary. Decisions are permanent. Let's make the decision to follow Jesus. And that includes with our lunch plate and our dinner plate and tomorrow's breakfast snack.